With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Pour your sugar on us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Chelsea beat Manchester City, West Ham are on the up, and River are the champions of South America. Vamos! Welcome indeed, my darlings. And how are you, Pete Donaldson?
I'm all right.
And how are you, Jim Campbell?
I'm good.
And how
I'm
are you,
ready.
Luke Moore?
Come on over to my place. Hey, girl, I'm having a party.
Yes.
Come over to my place. Hey, girl, I'm revoking Article 50.
Yeah.
That was what was in my head just then.
Okay.
Is that all it needs?
That's all it needs. Come over to my house and we'll revoke Article 50 together.
Have you got Article 50 in your house? Are you the one holding us to ransom it?
Yeah.
Pete, how does Britain exiting the EU affect your patent for the infant chip bowl helmet?
Well, it makes emerging markets and selling in those quite difficult, but also the EU safety standards, they weren't a fan of my contraption.
No.
Hot cheese and babies don't work.
Who is a fan of your contraption, Peter?
I am.
Yeah. As it's often dubbed, so would you in the tabloids.
Would you potentially want to sell the prototype to raise some money for charity because it's not ever going to be made?
Oh, good point. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah,
all right.
The prototype's just a cycle helmet with a little small bowl gaffer taped on the top, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, I've seen you wearing it around your house on your Instagram story.
How does the infant steady it?
It's not important. Let's get on with the show. That's, I think this has gone on.
Is what the patent office said.
Yeah. Is what my eyes seem to say. Yeah. Thank you, Peter. Chelsea, what a win against Manchester City.
What a win!
What a contrast to the previous matches. They become the first team to beat Manchester City in the league this season. What a turnaround. Convincingly beaten by Tottenham Hotspur and lost to Wolves, of course, in a match that they sort of dominated at first and then were pegged back. They lost ultimately. When Manchester City came to town, Chelsea fans may well have been quaking in their little trainers, but they've won 2-0, a clean sheet as well against Manchester City.
Yeah.
Quite magnificent, Jim.
What was so impressive as well is how City, they had so much of the ball, particularly in the first half, but Chelsea didn't really let them do anything with it. And it's once they got into the break, 0-0, it seemed
Kante scored before the break, mate.
Yeah, well, once they got to that sort of, once they took the lead, effectively, mm-hmm. Clearly that gave them the belief, like, you know what, we can come out a little bit more now. And they're a lot more sort of aggressive in the second half.
That was definitely true. Man City in the first half, it looked like more of the same. It's just a matter of time. And it was strange. I suppose, I'm sure Chelsea fans will maybe tell me otherwise, but I hadn't seen a Chelsea performance like that at home where they were happy to play second best for a large part of the game. Really since, like, under Di Matteo in the Champions League. I'm sort of thinking Barcelona when they came to town and Chelsea managed to win 1-0 through that Drogba goal. Chelsea really were thinking, OK, give them the ball, we'll try and contain them. It helped that Aguero wasn't there. I'd question the decision of having Jesus on the bench.
Mm. But he missed the chance late on, though, didn't he, anyway?
Neither side started with a striker.
No, exactly.
Yeah, which was interesting. So it showed you that Chelsea were just sort of happy to contain and try and hit them
on the
break.
Come back, Aguero. That's all we're asking.
Indeed, Peter, indeed. But, so Chelsea, you're right. They really were looking like, oh, blimey, we're not going to get anything out of this. And every time Chelsea, they managed to win the ball, they'd often give it away. And it was kind of like, ugh. Mm. And the crowd were like, here we go, another onslaught from Man City. What can they do? But they didn't do anything away. And then when Chelsea scored, it changed everything. Chelsea thought, hang on a bleed minute. You know, we're a decent side. We can now go. And actually, for the rest of the game, I didn't think it didn't play out like it did with the first 44 minutes.
Yeah, but I thought Manchester City still had enough in the tank. I thought they were.
No, of course they did. Man City.
I think they were like putting on the pressure massively at points, and it was only when they scored their second goal. I was like, oh, we can take the last 10 minutes off. Lovely.
Sarri's sort of comments were interesting after the game, where he talked about Chelsea perhaps struggling for motivation against the smaller teams. Yeah, of course, implying they didn't struggle for motivation against Man City.
And Tottenham Hotspur at Wembley.
That's quite a weird. Well, yeah, I don't know what he was referencing specifically, but it's still quite a weird thing for a manager to say.
It is.
Because, well, to be fair, though, he has been critical of some of their performances despite the results they've been getting, hasn't he?
Still quite a weird thing to say. And especially as one of those games where they performed so badly was against Tottenham.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a bit like a derby.
He was probably referring directly to the Wolves game, I expect. But
a one-off result can happen.
It's a big test for Pep Guardiola and his team now, because how they react to that and how they react to the pressure of Liverpool, because last season they responded really well after losing against Liverpool for the first time. They went on an amazing run and basically set themselves up to win the league. I don't think they lost again until they lost at Old Trafford. Or was it at the Etihad?
It was at the Etihad where Manchester United beat.
Until they lost to Man United when they were going to win the title. But they lost their first game of the season last season much later. Mm-hmm. It was in January, I think. It was obviously this one in December. Yeah. And there was no one really challenging them properly, was there then? Now they've got Liverpool breathing down their neck. And of course, now actually above them in the table. And maybe it'll give the rest of the league a bit of confidence, because other than Wolves, who really went for them, and of course they had that draw against Liverpool, the 0-0,
where Liverpool just contained them, and that's what I'm saying about Chelsea. Yeah. Chelsea were very much like... Ugh.
But a lot of teams, you feel like they just think they're beaten before they get there.
That's right, and I felt there was an element of that with Chelsea. Now, maybe Sarri would say, ha-ha, that's what we wanted you to think, you know, but it did seem to play out like that, and with the crowd, some of the reaction of the crowd, there was a bit of a feeling of... All right, yeah, we're very much second best here. But when Kante scored that goal, it just sort of something lifted, I think. The spell was broken.
It's especially interesting that, given that Sarri has said that Kante could score more goals and he's had a lot of criticism for putting him in that position. It's like, oh, God, does this mean he's right? Or does this mean that he'll keep doing this for a bit longer because he appears to have been proven right? But
it's a big question. It's going to be, if Chelsea don't achieve anything this season, in spite of this result, it's going to be a question that needs to be answered, because you're talking about a player who's arguably, as we said last week, arguably the best in the world in his position. And he's having to play differently, partly because of Sarri's dogmatic sticking to this 4-3-3 that he likes to play, but also because Jorginho is his main man. Jorginho's always going to play on that pivot, isn't he?
Kante's not going to play there.
Exactly. Under Sarri. It's not happening. It won't happen. Sarri, you know, he's long in the tooth. This is the biggest job he's had. You maybe could argue Napoli, but I would probably say Chelsea.
Given the context of the defeat.
I think so, yeah. I cannot see Sarri suddenly thinking, oh, okay, actually, I won't play. Mm. He signed Jorginho specifically. It's like certain managers like certain players that they'll always sign, they'll always take one or two wherever they go. And that's, Jorginho is Sarri's man. There's no two ways about it. You know, it was a very clean, quick transfer from what I remember. Mm. Because Jorginho was like, yeah, if he's there, I'll go. Mm. And that's what he'll do. And he said, if it's not Jorginho, then we'll have Cesc Fabregas in there. He's not going to play with Kante in that particular position. I think it can work. With Kante playing in the midfield three. And I'm not saying, oh, he scored, there you go, that's the end of the conversation. I'm saying that Kante's a good player and is being used by Sarri. Sarri is not sticking, he's not stuck him on the bench and, right, I'll forget about you. Kante's got such great energy, as we know. He's an intelligent player. He's won the Premier League, he's won the World Cup, for crying out loud. He hasn't played with the same players in those sides. I mean, playing with Danny Drinkwater in the middle of a four, it's not the same as playing at the base of midfield with, say, Paul Pogba for France when you're playing in a 4-2-3-1. You know, so he has been a bit versatile. And I think that, you know, we're not even at the halfway stage at the season yet. So still to go. But it was encouraging performance. And of course, scoring a goal is always going to help matters.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it's particularly if they can solve this problem very quickly and have everyone stop talking about this issue. Chelsea seem to be revealing themselves as a bit of an enigma, really, the last sort of, you know, few weeks or so, with those surprising defeats and also this surprising victory. And it makes me think, like, if you look at the table, are we starting to see a more interesting title race than we thought we might?
I think we thought that
the race for second, certainly. City
are winning that at the moment.
Yeah, true. But at the start of the season, Pete, we spoke about Liverpool and Man City being the likely ones, and seems to be the case. But,
yeah, and Arsenal are unbeaten in 21 games or something, and they're still 8 points off the top.
Can they?
Liverpool had their best start to a league campaign in their entire history, and we hear that sort of stuff being banded around a lot. To contextualise that, we have to understand that Liverpool have won 18 league titles.
Yeah.
This is not like saying Bournemouth have had their best start to the league season in history, or Wolves, or even someone, dare I say it, like Everton. Or Liverpool won 18 league titles and they've never started the season as good as they've started today.
And they've only just got to the top.
And they're 1 point clear.
But it's like you said, I think last week or the week before, like Manchester City, they might have a bit of a stumbling block and then they just kind of seem to, it doesn't seem to affect them as much as other teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Because Guardiola, it's almost like, I don't want to go as far as to say that he might quite enjoy having a defeat on his record at this time of the season. But I dare say, this morning at training, he'll be using that as a good reminder, saying, look, you're all here now. You saw what happened at the weekend. It's not easy. There's a good reminder of that. Because when you keep banging the drum and you win every week and it's easy, it's like a war. And I'm sure they don't feel like it's easy, but ultimately, the way they won the title last season, it's as easy as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. You sometimes need a reminder.
You do. And I think Guardiola can sometimes be quite philosophical, when he says, you know, well, we got to lose at some point. And it's almost like, he spoke about this, was it last season? Well, he was almost sort of like, right, now we've got that over with. The sort of the fear of losing is, oh, we're going to lose. Like, right, that's gone now. Now we can almost sort of crack on. I know it's got a weird thing to say, but I do understand it on one level.
No, I get it though. It's like, okay, there's a chink in our armor we didn't know was there. Mm. So now we address this.
Yeah,
and we'll learn from it.
And I think with what Guardiola was saying, he said, well, I thought we were fantastic. And that's the thing with him. His side played the way he wanted them to play. It didn't quite happen. Mm. I would say, you know, they did miss Aguero. They didn't have too many chances.
Too.
Yeah, De Bruyne as well. But I think I would have played Jesus, I think, give them a little bit more of a point of attack. But I mean, I don't necessarily think that's the difference between a loss and a defeat. I just think the way the game went.
But two of the players who've had a little bit of controversy and some question marks around their position and their role in the team, and Kante and Luiz have both been the difference in their biggest game of the season so far.
Well, if we're talking about Chelsea,
All right, well, sorry, yeah, you would go around to Man City, but I want to make that point because it's funny how football does that to you, because you think, right, Man City are coming to town, we all talked about how, you know, it takes some going to beat them, and then two of the players that don't really know what they're going to be doing long term at Chelsea as far as Sarri is concerned, both end up scoring.
Yeah, well, Jim, you said about Chelsea, what did you say, they're a bit of an enigma side? Mm. Or they're, you know, well, I mean, is that reflected in the player of David Luiz?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how so much criticism against Tottenham, rightly so, and then puts in a great performance like that and gets his goal. And I reminded quite nicely when he sort of celebrates. I'm like, oh, I do like David Luiz.
Yeah.
I like to see him happy.
Well, but this is the thing.
I remember
Luiz,
the tears
it?
In 2014 with those Brazilian players. But as a
neutral, he is an interesting player like that, isn't he? Because you know it is so up and down.
He's absolute box office.
Yeah, he was great. In the first half, that block on Leroy Sané, because that was a really really good move from City. And like to be that calm, so clear to your, so near to your goal rather, is a huge thing. And he's perhaps unfairly seen as a player who does lose his head and isn't very calm, but he's got so much more to his game than he's given credit for. I think
when Luiz makes mistakes, they're quite clear. And but when he plays well, the problem is you know he's got them and you think, oh, is it coming, is it not? But when he plays well, I mean, the ball out wide for, you know, the sort of start off the first Chelsea goal was glorious. You know, I think it's absolutely brilliant. Before we move on from this one, we have to say Raheem Sterling, of course, in the thick of it, he posted on social media after allegedly being subjected to racist abuse during the match, accused some sections of the media of fueling racism in their depictions and portrayals of young black players. And yeah, I actually thought
he handled it in the only way he really felt like he probably could. And the whole point about him taking this back to the media and giving it, almost like taking ownership of it and using it as using social media as a vehicle to go back to the media on it is really interesting and also really important, because I think we've argued about this before, and it is depressing that we still have to have these conversations. But if that guy we're talking about, who we've seen caught on camera, who's allegedly been racist to Raheem Sterling, is found guilty and then banned from the stadium for life, which you expect would probably happen, that doesn't solve the problem. What that does is solve the problem of that particular person being racist in that football ground. It doesn't solve the problem of racism as a whole. Now, of course, racism is a far bigger problem to be solved by just a handful of people. But the way that he has been portrayed over the years as a player is far more indicative of a wider problem than just people getting angry at football games and going over the top. And I think he was right to bring it up in that way. And also, I thought he was very brave to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's conducting himself so brilliantly. I imagine he's so sick of this sort of thing that he's perhaps been planning this for a while almost, because in the life of Raheem Sterling, it seems like an inevitability that, you know, you're going to get really unfairly treated by the media. And he's right to focus on that being the thing that, you know, almost enables this kind of behaviour.
Well, you can sort of pull back to the dog whistling in the nation's press. And I think Logan made the point before, it's the front page rather than the back page. It ain't the sports writers, it's the dickheads who write the front page. But you could pull back even further, the nationalist populism that seems to be gripping most of Europe. But On a smaller level, people are sort of saying, you know, why aren't people around this chap giving him pelters for the alleged racist abuse? Dynamically, that's just not going to happen. No. All clubs have a problem with racist vermin. I'll take it back to the what happened on the tube platform in Paris a couple of years ago. Yeah. We're racist, and that's the way we like it. Chelsea have had a long-standing problem with this situation. I've sat in with Chelsea fans at Stamford Bridge.
Other clubs as well.
But the actual sort of idea... But I would argue that Chelsea are probably better known for that kind of behaviour than a lot of other Premier League clubs and top clubs. But it's very hard to stop anybody shouting anything at a football match. If that's in their fucking head, they're going
to
fucking shout it.
And
to stop people. And they're sort of saying, it's got nothing to do with the rest of the crowd. There are more cameras at Premier League grounds than downtown fucking Beijing. That you can find what people are saying at any point during a match. You can find what people are doing at any point during a match, and you can get them out of your ground.
Well, and also, if you saw the flipping other blokes around him, now they may not have said anything racist, but the abuse they were giving Sterling,
it's ugly.
It really is horrible. And I sort of think to myself, and people say, oh, but it's, you know, it's the spirit of the game. No, that's not the spirit of anything. You know, and we all like a bit of banter and all the rest of it. That is really, really
angry.
Horrible. And I think to myself, I bet those dickheads were cheering him on when he played for England. I bet they celebrated that goal he scored against Spain. And I know that's almost by the by. I don't want to sort of say, oh, therefore, if you play for England, if you haven't played for England, then you're fair game. That's not what I'm saying.
But no one, I mean, that's an interesting point. And no one needs, you know, 99.9% of people listening to this show, probably maybe even 100% of them, don't need us to tell them that racism is bad. But two points I want to pick up. One is the relationship that Pete mentions about the back page of the newspaper and the front page of the newspaper. I do think it's important to draw a distinction to an extent that the sports desk sits separately from the news desk, and the people who write on the back page of the paper don't necessarily have anything to do with the subs and the headline writers of the front page. And I know a few of them, so I know that to be the case. But I do think that's a bit of a convenient fig leaf.
No, massively,
and I think if I was someone, an aspiring football journalist or someone who just started making their way in the world and was offered a job at somewhere like the Mail, for example, or the Sun, who are the two main guilty parties in this type of stuff that Raheem Sterling is talking about, it would give me pause for thought. And I am quite confused as to why certain people who have got good big positions of authority and responsibility and power at the sports desks, which are, let's be perfectly clear, the absolute engine room of a newspaper in terms of finances and that kind of stuff, why they don't say more. And secondly, it's also fascinating because The Sun particularly has massively misjudged the mood of the nation in light of what happened in England in the summer and players like Raheem Sterling and the Gareth Southgate type revolution. They have been proven, regardless of all their dog whistle racism nonsense, which is no place in any civilised society anyway, but they've also come down the side of the fence where they've thought, we're still living in a time where we can make or break an athlete and we can make or break a famous person. Mm. And they've tried to break Raheem Sterling and they haven't been able to do it. And the reason they haven't been able to do it is, one, because he's obviously a very nice chap. Two, he's very talented and people support him. And three, because he's done very well for England. England have also done very well. So the Sun suddenly find themselves out on their ear in a landscape where that type of traditional media is less and less important. Mm. So it'll be, regardless of the racism stuff, which of course, as I said, we need to tick the box and say that it's obviously awful, but it's always been awful and it always will be awful until it stops. I would like to see The Sun do something a little bit more honourable than they have done in the past, but I won't hold my breath.
I was going to say,
you're behind your breath.
But actually, the sad thing about it is, the reason I say that is because the sad thing is there will come a time where they'll have to do that or they won't make any money anymore.
Yeah.
And that's how you speak to these people.
You hear about Rebecca Weird basically changing the entire direction of some of the titles that she's working with just simply because advertisers are getting cold feet.
Yeah.
That's how you get the mood change. You attack the advertisers. Go after the advertisers who are advertising in The Sun. Go after the advertisers who are working with these organisations, because they're the only ones that can change the conversation. They are the only ones. The bottom line is the only reason why The Sun is the biggest newspaper in the country. That is the only reason.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Let's have a weekend we don't play any BME member players, and let's see how shit that fucking league is, all right?
All right. Liverpool, they beat Bournemouth. They're top of the league. They're the only unbeaten side left in the Premier League. Their relentless winning is so vital. And as you said, Luke, earlier in the podcast, that it's their best start to a season ever. They have to be. And because of that, they're now top of the league. Very, very slightly top of the league, if that's
Liverpool fans can be, I mean, they're going to be happy anyway. They can be really, really happy, though, because something we mentioned maybe a week ago or perhaps 2 weeks ago, saying that they've prioritised their defence, sorted their back line out, and they've stopped conceding goals, but they've perhaps relinquished or sacrificed a little bit going forward. Well, last weekend just gone, in a game that they've got a recent history playing Bournemouth. They were winning and they got beaten. They went way out in front and they got pegged back. And I remember James Milner having a terrible time against Ryan Fraser, but I haven't got the details in front of me, so forgive me. It's not, what I'm saying is, going to Bournemouth isn't an easy fixture.
No, definitely
it's
not.
It's difficult.
I mean, I understand Bournemouth are missing a few players.
Yeah, sure.
But then Liverpool didn't play Mane, for example.
Salah was irresistible. Yeah. He looked like the Salah of last season. Mm. He's been fine anyway. He just hasn't hit those heights as regularly this year. And they were absolutely irresistible, Liverpool.
Gave James Milner his man of the match award.
Yeah, that was a very nice touch. It's 500th Premier League appearance, isn't it, for Milner, which is really... You imagine we'll get maybe another 1,000 the engine that he's got on him. But yeah, I mean, what I found really interesting about Salah's performance was that Liverpool started with a 4-4-2. And so often, you know, you think, well, is it the system that has shown this huge, huge like uptake in Salah's goal return? But evidently not. No, and it's just taking him a little while to readjust, doesn't it? I mean, it's easy to get.
He's still scoring.
Absolutely. He's still scoring at a very good rate. I mean, if he was having this season last season, everyone would still be going, wow. Mm. Like, he'd probably still be the best signing of the summer with these sort of the performances, because it's not like he hasn't been scoring, as you say, but he had a difficult injury at the end of last season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that affects your mobility a lot. So that probably takes a while to get back from. You've got to get fresh again. And he was irresistible. The third goal. I love how he did that. He,
it looked like one of those chances where when he grounded the keeper, but some defenders got back in front of goal, you think, oh, has this chance gone a little bit? But that little flick to the
so
side.
Easy.
Like, yeah, so exactly so. Mm. And we know that it's not that easy.
Completely.
But he makes it look so.
Completely. And that game, again, was a reminder about the strength and depth in Liverpool's squad that they have. Because Mane wasn't playing, but Shaqiri's now coming in. Now Shaqiri often starts, you know, but Klopp can rotate the squad a bit more. He can give players a bit of freshness. I'm not sure if Firmino's not there. You have to have a little bit of a reshuffle. I'm not sure Daniel Sturridge is a maybe. I know he scored that great goal away at Chelsea and so on, and he's still got a bit of talent. You know, but like any team, if you get injuries to key players, you know, Virgil van Dijk, for example, then they're going to suffer. But you could point the finger, as we have done with Manchester City, talking about Aguero and De Bruyne moments earlier.
If Man City lose Fernandinho, they look like they'll struggle a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how vital he is with his...
He's the one area of the pitch they haven't got reinforcements of that level in.
Yeah. So I think that you are looking at the two best sides, the best squads as well. And, you know, Spurs have got a decent squad, but it's not quite Liverpool, and certainly not Manchester City, because Man City is probably the best squad in the world at the moment, you could argue. And it is a squad game, so I really hope Liverpool can go the distance with them. And it's funny that we're saying that, because we are assuming that Manchester City are going to go the distance, and can Liverpool catch them?
I get the impression that Klopp is managing the squad very well too. I mean, like, how much does Divock Origi look like he's back in from the cold now?
Yeah, another one.
I mean, obviously, you know, he's worked that position himself by scoring that important goal against Everton. But I mean, you need that, especially going into Christmas, because you were going to need those players that don't feature as much to come in and feel valued and be able to make a contribution, knowing that it might, you know, affect them later on in the year.
Well, they've got
in a good spot.
They've got a really key next couple of games, haven't they, Liverpool? They play Napoli in the Champions League, and they play United at home next weekend.
Yeah, and interestingly, Man City have Everton, don't they? So.
There we are. Despite their 4-1 win against Fulham, you'd expect Mourinho to defend at Anfield.
And then defend himself in the press conference afterwards. Mm.
Yeah, is it Anfield?
Or
is
attack
it, or
people attacking him as a way of defending himself before anyone said anything.
Yeah, they're playing at Anfield.
Oh, there we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, more Premier League.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Are you saving money? No, what? Saving money for January.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with PTD.
It is time for emails with PTD.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast!
You've got mail.
A chance for you to get all of the bees out of your bonnet. And I say that just to set up the fact that I haven't changed the production.
Your bee, the bee in your bonnet this week is racism. Yes. That's fair enough.
That's fair enough.
Absolutely fair enough.
It's not a nice bee. The B is the B in the butt. The B can be nice, but the thing the B is angry with can be horrible.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that the point is you're
angry because you've got a bee in your bonnet. The bee is supposed to be the bad thing, not the good thing, which I think is detrimental to bees, who are very important to our ecosystem.
Mm. Why are we having to got bees?
Yeah, I don't know.
Crying out loud.
Yeah.
Schwa. Hello, Schwa. I hope you're well. Thank you, Schwa. That's very nice. I'm all right.
I like his name.
You all right?
I like his name.
Just carrying on from the foreign last names in the Premier League. See Frank the Farmer. Hansenhuttle means rabbit hutch.
No
is that
way.
Right? I did give it a Google. I couldn't find anything. So
I'll carry on. That might be silly.
I'll try and Google Translate it.
Hansenhuttle.
Hi, Pete. This is from Tim Concannon from Boston. Your puns are stale, mate.
Good.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you literally asked for that.
Yeah. Bit rich, isn't it, from a man called Tim Concannon. That's got to be rich, hasn't it?
Hasenhuttle's coming back with no...
No, I'm not having that. But I thought I'd bring it to the table, just in case anyone can... This
is not a fact check, kind of.
Rob Wildy. Hello, Ramblers. Listening to your email about Man United security workers who were sacked for refusing entry to the club's chief executive brought back a memory. Years ago, a friend of mine worked for Birmingham City in a corporate events role. One evening, the club hosted an event for another Premier League executive. Yes, we were in the Premier League many moons ago. My friend was signing the guests in and welcoming them to the event and handing out the ID passes. He was under strict orders from Karen Brady not to let anyone enter the event without an ID pass. Soon after, Brady, who had earlier left the room to deal with another task, walked back in without her pass and wasn't challenged.
Ooh.
Later that evening, my friend was fired and told by Karen Brady that her walking back into the room without her pass was a test.
Wow. Oh,
and
no.
The friend had failed. Needless to say, there was no one happier than my friend when Brady eventually left the club.
Oh, Kazza B.
And that year, he didn't win The Apprentice because of that.
It was a trick.
I hope Alan Sugar fired him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anon says, Accrington Stanley striker Billy Key used to be the king of the school bus. On the 30-minute journey between Leicestershire villages, he would administer Nuggies dead arms, gob out the windows, and force his disgusting mouth retainer into the mouths of terrified children. We don't know.
Oh no.
We don't know the...
He's awful.
I mean, he's mugging himself off there, isn't he, really?
Yeah,
he's
got to
put that in his own mouth.
In a way, he's kissed all those kids. Yeah. By the rules of the school bus.
Yes. So thank you for that. And if you want to get just a show, shotthefootballramble.com. And we don't know whether the Billy Key rumour is true or not.
Still wears braces.
Did nobody email in asking about the giant jigsaw piece puzzle?
Oh, yeah. That
giant
was
jigsaw
so
piece puzzle.
So at the Bournemouth-Liverpool game, behind one of the corner flags,
right,
there was a man who I think, Marcus, and Jim, possibly,
went to university with us.
Might have been Sean Osborne's mate.
I was joking.
No, you know Sean Osborne? Sorry about this, everyone listening.
Did he sing If Only God Was One of Us?
Well, he now works at Bournemouth University.
We can have this chat after.
And he was talking on Facebook about it. So I think we might have actually known him. Anyway, there's a massive giant jigsaw piece, right? And the reason I brought it up with the guys on what we should do this in the WhatsApp group.
You've solved the puzzle.
We'll do it now. I passed the challenge. is that there's a guy dressed up as a big jigsaw puzzle piece.
Yeah.
And it's got Bournemouth University on it.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, surely you're trying to advertise Bournemouth University to university-aged teenagers.
Mm.
So you think they're going to love a really big jigsaw puzzle piece. Let's go, oh, yeah, God, they've got jigsaws at university. I want to go there.
I like
Bournemouth.
It.
I'm against it.
What would you prefer?
Also
a big Alco-Pop?
A rather large appendage as well.
With the jigsaw piece.
Yeah, because he had
adult.
Skin tight purple leggings.
Oh, he's dressing at the right. I saw
the jigsaw piece.
There you go.
Dancing
with a lit right next to his. Right at his piece.
The Bournemouth jigsaw dresses to the right.
He does. He does. Exclusively reveal that.
So what should. Yeah. This has gone very university all of a sudden, hasn't it?
Mm. Why wouldn't you just have like a DNA string?
Like in Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
That'd be good, yeah.
That'd be very good. Let's talk about West Ham United. They beat Crystal Palace 3-2. They're up to 10th, just 5 points off 6th. Pellegrini has challenged his players to finish in the top 6 this season.
I
think to myself, well, hang on, mate, you've just put a fair bit of distance between you and the relegation teams. Aim high, yes, but top 6?
I mean,
suppose they're only 5 points off it, though, Jim.
It's ambitious, isn't it? But I mean, you know, it's Manuel Pellegrini. You should be demanding a lot, and there are good players there.
He's won the Premier League,
exactly.
Mate.
Okay. And I think that's exactly what they need. That's what they want, and this is what West Ham was sold before they moved into the new stadium. They were told that this was the sort of ambition they would have. They were told that this was the sort of manager that they would have, and good on him.
I mean, or is this a test, a la Karen Brady?
It could well be a test.
Yeah.
How do you fail it though?
Finish 7th.
I think, to be
if
fair,
they celebrate finishing seventh, he's
right, you're out.
No end of season.
They spent 103 million or something, didn't they?
They have spent a few quid.
Yeah, and I know that's not like Man City or Man United levels, but it is a decent amount.
I don't know. According to Jose Mourinho, that's much more than Man United.
Man United, they spent like 400 million.
I know.
It's just Mourinho just doesn't want to talk about it because Man City spent 500 million.
Yeah. I mean, they're, as I say, West Ham now 11 points above the relegation zone, and we thought that perhaps the better performances of like West Ham can now put a bit of clear blue water in between themselves and the relegation, because a club like West Ham, Pellegrini in charge, some of the players they've got and that stadium and all, don't want a season where they're looking over their shoulder. Yeah. They should be looking ahead, and that's what Pellegrini is challenging them to do.
Well, this performance very much seemed like that, didn't it? Because I wasn't at the game, but you know, based on what I saw in the highlights, the atmosphere sounded amazing, and obviously, you know, TV can be quite misleading
certainly
sometimes,
better,
but it sounded brilliant, and compared to how it has been in the past, it sounded absolutely rocking. And three fantastic goals. Really good to see.
And you know, the last couple of games, including the Palace game, they obviously went a goal down in that one, managed to battle back. The game against Cardiff, they at 0-0, Cardiff got a penalty, which they then missed. So that key moment really sort of spurred them on. But what we're saying about West Ham under Pellegrini is that the next five games really are key for them. If you look at the fixture list for them, if they've got serious ambitions, then they need to win. They've won three in a row now in the Premier League. They need to win every single one of the next five games, which are Fulham away, Watford at home, Southampton away, Burnley away, and Brighton at home.
Well, by the law of averages, I think if they won three or four, that would be... Certainly if they won four, that would be good going. Obviously, it depends on the manner of the defeat of the other one. But
No, but I mean...
To win all five is quite tall.
It is, but if we're talking finishing sixth...
You've got to win those games.
Well, true. And I suppose a good thing for West Ham is that, you know, Arnautovic being injured, they didn't look like they missed him in that game. You know, they've got Chicharito coming in there. Big Andy Carroll! He came on.
Yeah, Perez.
Remember the name?
Recently.
It's less a football career, more a sort of series of reminders.
Yeah, a shadow.
Yeah. Isn't it? Like guest appearances. It's like he's gone straight to cameo.
Yeah.
What I love about Felipe Anderson is it's going really well. And that's the kind of signing you see a player like that go to a club like West Ham and you think, oh, what happened to him? And then he goes back to somewhere on the continent.
They're quite good at that, aren't they?
Well, I thought to myself...
Payet was obviously a similar example before that
went sour. The way Felipe Anderson's going, he could be that type of player that Payet came.
I think it was a surprise that they got him. Yeah. But I like the chat about the top six, because what he's essentially saying is we're going to finish above Man United.
Yeah. Because that is essentially what he's
because
saying.
Because the top five are now 8 points clear of Man United in sixth.
Yep.
And in perspective, they are 13 points clear of West Ham in 11. And it's a little mini league now, that five.
And let's not forget, you know, former Man City manager, Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah, exactly.
How much would he love to finish?
Oh, what number of important manager am I in the Premier League? If Ranieri's two and you're one, what am I?
Yeah, Zabaleta's behind him going, that's it, go on.
Do him in. Do him.
Yeah, so well done to West Ham.
Robert Snodgrass got a goal as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was his first goal for West Ham.
Well, he slimmed down. He stayed out the gym like Lukaku.
He was really heavily linked with just going back to Aston Villa permanently this season, like in the summer. Everyone was talking about what was going to happen, but he's become a bit of a key player for them.
He just wanted to play in claret and blue, mate.
He's doing all right.
And he is.
He'll take any team.
Although there's not that much blue in this kit.
Thank you, Marcus.
At the moment.
Zaha and Townsend have been poor, haven't they, recently as well, for Palace, and that's part of the problem.
Townsend did score a very good goal recently.
Yeah.
Didn't add to his tally.
That's why you went to pro football, because you were just dying out on a goal you score for weeks to come and you never do anything else after.
Last goal of the score this season, I hear. That's what I hear.
Yeah. Firstly, how bloody dare you?
It's not the only reason you're not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't give everybody the full facts.
Yeah.
And secondly, there's a lot more of the season to go for Townsend to get those three goals.
I mean, it's just inexplicable that you decided that you like him so much and rate him against all the evidence to the contrary.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about that goal the other week?
It's a nice one.
It was a lovely goal, wasn't it, Jim?
Stop thinking that just because you say something like it's a voiceover in a Bisto advert, it means something.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on then to another side playing Clarence. Burnley. They got a great win at home against Brighton. Huge win. Sean Dyche said he was relieved.
I'm relieved.
Yeah, it never sounds relieved, but we have to take his word for it, of course. Yeah.
I think just saying it in his voice does sound like he's relieved.
I'm relieved.
Bisto. I'm relieved.
Oh, that's the stuff.
Do you reckon he makes that noise when he sits down? He's an older gentleman now.
Yeah, I mean, I do that. Oh, God, that must sound like a bunch of gravel in a wood chipper, that.
This time last season, easy to forget that Burnley were, just about this time last season, were in the top four.
Yeah.
Madness.
They were fifth, weren't they, this time last year?
I think they were about fifth, but I think they got into the top four, you know, about a year ago. But anyway, it's very different this season, of course, for them. This was Burnley with a much more grittier performance than we've seen. They kept a clean sheet, and that's what worked well last season. And I think Dyche has realised, well, of course he's realised, what he's been saying recently is, you know, we need to pull our socks up. We all need to be moving as a unit in the same direction. And they got more of this. They played against the Brighton side, who are performing better than them this season so far. And now Burnley, they're up to 17th on 12 points. And with Huddersfield, Southampton and Fulham all losing, it was a good weekend for them. And they desperately needed that. Gentlemen.
Yeah, Brighton are very poor away from home generally. I know they've had a decent result here or there. But, you know, you do still worry for Burnley because they don't score a huge amount of goals, as we all know. And they relinquished a lot of possession to Brighton in this game. I think Brighton has something like 63% possession.
Yeah.
I know it's not really Burnley's game to knock the ball about, and I'm not saying it's a less legitimate way of playing, but...
But against Brighton, you shouldn't be
Brighton has 63% possession and 14 shots. And it's almost like, if you try and do that every game, it's going to come back, but you just put so much pressure on your defensive unit.
The result was Burnley last season, the performance a bit more... But as you say, Brighton should have scored. They had a couple of chances.
That's right.
And one of Burnley's best players this season, we've said before, is Joe Hart. And he has played very, very well. Now, Burnley have had decent goalkeepers in recent seasons, of course. So it's not that surprising for Burnley to have a decent player between the sticks. But that win, they've got to keep doing what they did because there's no point in trying to play a different style. There's no point in trying to... We're deep into the season now. What are you smirking at, Jim?
I'm smirking at the fact that I read recently that Andy Gray said Joe Hart was 36.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Yeah, so...
Is that it?
Yeah.
I regret asking you.
Well, I mean, it was a private smirk.
No, I know. It's all my fault,
smirking,
ladies and gentlemen.
For money.
Because of me, we've had a mention of Andy Gray on the pod. And I apologise. I sincerely do. So, yes, good win for Burnley.
I just think, you know, they're not going to play a team as profligate as Brighton every week.
Yeah.
And I think Hart only made a couple of saves in that game because Brighton were so
wasteful.
Yeah, I think they probably were. Yeah, and yeah, there you go.
We're still worried for you, Sean. We're still worried for you. Mm. Let's go down into the Football League, shall we? It's been a little while. Let's go straight to League One because Portsmouth extended their league. It is their league. Yeah. They extended their lead at the top of the league to 6 points. It's happening. It is Pompey are on for promotion. Can they continue their reverse up the Pompey Highway?
This is less a league season, more a UK tour. Of just the load of cities around the country.
Well, no, an England tour.
Yeah, sorry, an English tour. Yeah.
You're like Ariana Grande, next.
Yeah, next one.
Next league, please.
Next one, yeah.
Easy.
We only lost one game all season in the league.
It's impressive.
That was ages ago. We won four in a row in the league now. And in Ronan Curtis, we've got one of the best young players in League One. Exciting young find. Only 22, got him from Derry City.
When's he off to Southampton?
Don't know. but, I mean, if he wants to go to Southampton, I mean... He's basically going to be moving to a club in the same division, isn't he?
Oi, oi. See you in the Championship next season.
I mean, are you getting a little bit excited about the possibility of that
because he's downplaying
reality?
Do you want to know what gives me confidence? Is that last our manager is Kenny Jackett, and last time this happened with a Kenny Jackett side, I think it was Wolves, and they got like 103 points or something. He's just relentless.
They
should be doing well in League One. He's had his little dry run last season, and now they're just going for it. It's just all working well for them. They've got great confidence, good players. And they're in the winning habit, which is obviously really important.
Yeah, Sunderland though, they are.
Speaking of dry runs,
yeah. Well, they are third, 7 points behind Portsmouth with a game in hand. They played Accrington Stanley away. Match was abandoned after 76 minutes at 1-1 due to waterlogged pitch. Annoying to get to 76 minutes. Call it earlier.
I thought it was a result after 75, but they must have changed that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it used to be 75 minutes, the result stood.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah. No, it must have changed.
Like the Duckworth-Lewis
message. Well, maybe, but it must have changed.
Do you remember when Real Madrid played a cup game or something and they stopped it after 84 minutes and then they went back to the stadium and played the last 60 minutes?
Yeah.
That's piss poor behaviour.
Yeah. I hope you have to pay for an extra ticket for that.
Oh, God, Bennett. Imagine that. You should have at least have like a kind of a former Madrid, like an ex-former players penalty shootout or something to give the fans something. You can't just have 6 minutes of action.
Introduce a few celebrities in there.
Yeah.
Imagine to really, you know, uphold the integrity of the league.
what?
No, as in like an extra. So the game's over and you think, well, you all turned out for this 6 minutes. Mm. That bloke over there, he went to the toilet. He missed most of the game. You know, bloke sitting down with his hot dog over there. He doesn't know what's happening.
I don't think they're going to open the concession stand for a 6 minute game.
Just Real Madrid we're talking about, mate. They've got their integrity to keep.
Yeah. Right, we're only doing microwave meals. Cold food only. I'll do you a piece of toast or something.
You can have a bag of minstrels. Fuck off.
Yeah.
All right. League two. Sol Campbell lost his first game in charge of Macclesfield 1-0 away at Colchester. Sol's soldiers are bottom of the league, 6 points from safety.
I mean, 1-0 away from Macclesfield, that's not a bad result.
It's not too shabby. Do you know
if
what?
They should be singing, we got Sol and we are a soldier.
Of course
we
they
got
should.
Sol and we are.
That's something in that.
But it might just sound sarcastic because Sol they are so bad.
Yeah, Campbell, though, he looked enthusiastic. I think this could be...
Start of a beautiful friendship.
I would love to see him... genuinely be an amazing manager.
I would as well.
Here's my fear for it, though. Joking aside, we know Sol's a bit of an old character.
We've all got fears about this.
My fear is that he's going to be... He's for whatever reason, he's had to go and take a job at Macclesfield Town, right? He's done a bit of coaching before, passed his badges, was a great player. We don't know him personally. He's got a reputation as being a bit odd, so that's not stood in his way. Of course, he thinks the fact that he's black has stood in his way, mm-hmm. and that's a situation that should be taken seriously. My fear, though... is that he's going to be pigeonholed as a bad manager because he's had to take this job and it's the only job he could get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if that, in fact, I suspect strongly that it won't be a decent reflection of what his abilities are.
Completely. If you take out the personality involved, would you think of somebody starting their first job, taking over a team that's struggling so badly that they're at the bottom of the league system?
Yeah.
Would it be unreasonable for that person to fail? Of course it wouldn't be. So, you're completely right.
So he's probably hoping that it's a bit of a free hit for him.
Yeah.
And he shows enough that people go, all right. Or maybe even if they do get relegated, he stays in the National League and he beds down there and tries to bring them back. It's been a while since they've had any sort of success at all, Macclesfield. Of course, if you don't count them getting promoted from the National League back up into League Two. So, yeah, a difficult situation for him. They showed something against Newcastle in the Chequer trade, didn't they? They got back on level terms. They got knocked out in the penalty shootout, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So they battled back against a good young team. So
we want Sol to do well.
I think so. Yeah, I think we should be pulling for him, actually.
Damn right. Damn bloody right. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to talk about the Copa Libertadores final and the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
Need the bar right now. So if you see the incidents today, I think we need the bar.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Thursday. We don't need a new better, do we, Luke?
No we don't.
We don't need another better.
Steve brought in £187.50.
Go on, Steve-o.
For prostate cancer.
He called it, didn't he?
UK, he
Mate,
did.
Stop the faff.
It was a brave shout, and we'll be looking to him for another bet on Thursday show because he has firmly got his buttocks.
He's made a
laying
groove.
In that hot seat.
Yes.
Do you think that's why no one can do three? Just gets too hot.
Yeah, too hot.
Just sears your buttocks.
What I would say to Steve is ahead of Thursday, put an extra pair of pants on.
Mm. Yeah.
Insulate yourself.
Yeah,
because it does get very hot.
Oh, we bring like
asbestos.
A phone book.
I'm particularly impressed with Steve already because other best bettors, they start off, obviously any bet is, it can be tricky even if you're betting on, Man City.
A dead cert.
Exactly. Whereas usually people with the first bet, you think, I could see that happening. Obviously, a bit of a tricky one to see that happening. Whereas with Steve, we went for the underdogs there.
Yeah, and he's also intimated, as he said in his email last week, that on the third one, if he gets that far, he's going to go out there. Yeah. So I wonder if he'll maintain that if he gets there. But good for him. Anyway, we need a new one. We need another bet from Steve on Thursday, so we'll look out for that.
Look forward to that. Mm-hmm. All right, the Copa Libertadores final second leg actually happened. And River Plate are the champions of South America. They won 3-1 after extra time, 5-3 on AG.
Yeah,
the match finally concluded in Madrid. It's a bit strange.
Just, wow.
Yeah, I mean, in one sense, amazing to have the final at such a stage, which perhaps attracted a more global audience, although it didn't seem they were struggling with the global audience at the time. But such a shame, on another hand, that it happened in a different continent.
But if you take all that into account, like this is one of the strangest games in the history of football, really, if you look at everything around it and all of the different circumstances that went into making it so bizarre. Mm-hmm. But the intensity of it is to be, I think, needs to be enjoyed separately. The game itself was still an incredible spectacle. And like, It's the Bernabeu. We've been to the Bernabeu. You know, we've been to, you and I, Marcus, have been to a Champions League final together, and you guys have all been to Champions League finals. The atmosphere at those games is amazing, and that was really something else, though, in that stadium.
Yeah,
like when you look at South American football, the insane sort of passion in the stands, it feels really colourful and really strange, but it also feels quite removed. So to see it in a more familiar setting,
I know what you
like
mean.
like the Bernabeu, it really brings home like quite how insanely loud and brilliant that is. And when Boca scored, I, even though I knew the score, like looking at the highlights, like I worried for them. I was like, you can't expend that much energy and not suffer for that later.
Their goal was a beauty as well.
Yeah. Mm,
very well taken.
I'm surprised you're using Champions Leagues as an example there, because Champions League finals, in my experience, just too, they're a bit sanitised.
Really? My experience with that was very different.
Fair enough. I would sort of say, you know, it had the atmosphere of a really big derby game times like 100.
Yeah.
And I don't know the detail that much on this, because I'm not that up on South American club football, but they had to play the game at the Bernabeu because of the crowd trouble. And was it deemed that
they didn't have to?
No. Yeah, but well, I think Madrid offered them a deal where they would take care of all the security as well and give them a stadium to play in, because Conmebol are so skint due to many indiscretions in the past.
Right.
So they've just got they haven't got enough money. They'd already sold the TV rights. The game had to be played or they'd be in hock. So,
but I just my question was going to be, what would have been insulated Boca against River complaining if they had been beaten? That, oh yeah, we didn't get to play a home game.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
this is the problem. I mean, there is.
I thought it was because River fans were guilty of assaulting Boca.
Well, that's
players,
why they got,
why
they got punished.
Well, there's talk that there will still likely be a legal challenge from Boca saying that this game should never have happened for X, Y, Z reason.
Well, especially because like the last time they played, it was the Boca fans on the River team, wasn't it? Or was it the
Boca
like,
bus was attacked by the River fans.
Right, okay. So the last time the complete reverse happened, somebody sliced their way into the players' tunnel and tear gassed one of the a few of the players, and they got banned from the competition. So
Is anyone coming out of any credit on this front?
No, I don't think
they
are.
Well, the tear gas manufacturers are coining it. That's all I'm saying.
No, they're not, Luke. And that's painfully obvious, sadly, for a lot of Argentinians. They're just, this was why Jim said it was so weird, because despite this game, yes, of course, when the whistle goes, the passions are there and the intensity is there. But really, I mean, the reason why they played it in Madrid, as Pete said, the Real Madrid offered it. I think they straight away. I don't think anyone else in South America offered, and understandably so. You know, it gives you a bit of a headache hosting that game. Also, the head of the South American Football Association said Madrid is an exceptional decision in exceptional circumstances. I did find it funny when he said, we found out that there are over 350,000 Argentinians living in Spain, so we wanted to give them the opportunity to do this match and feel it. And I thought, well, it sounds quite funny in one sense. Yeah. Oh, they're all over there. Well, we might as well go there. But of course, what he's saying is they knew that if they took the game there, Argentinians would turn up and watch the match. Yeah. And I think that's why. And I think it had to be played in a faraway land, because only 4,000 from each club roughly went to go and watch the game, which is a great shame
in
one sense.
I'm fairly certain the Copa Libertadores, is about the ending of Spanish occupation.
Yeah.
And the colonisation of that actual.
Is that right?
So that's an extra fuck you to the fans, if
anything. Oh my goodness. It's a bit of Stockholm syndrome going on.
What a mess.
Appropriately enough, given Boca's colours.
Yes, absolutely.
The dictionary definition of futile was when River's third goal, where the keeper gone up for the corner and that poor Boca defender just running back.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to get anywhere near it. Still ran as hard as he could, though.
I mean, the rest of the River team were celebrating before he put that away. Yeah. And like, that might sound really arrogant, but you know,
well, the game was won.
It's absolutely fair in a sense, but you've got to be gutted for Boca, you know, in particular.
Yeah, that was it, the last two-legged final in the Copa Libertadores.
It's fair to say that the hype definitely was realised when we found out these two were going to play against each other. I think the drama, even though we don't condone a lot of the behaviour, the drama definitely lived up to what we expected.
That's right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, talking of drama, it's time to open the WhatsApp group.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Oh, speaking of drama and expectation, Harry Redknapp is now the king of the jungle.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I've not ever seen it. I've not seen a single second of it.
I haven't seen a thing of it, but I have to mention it.
I saw one episode and I thought, oh, I realise why everyone watches this show. It's really good.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed the episode that I watched.
I'm a celebrity.
Harry
getting me out
of
here.
Harry Redknapp came across as a genuinely sweet man.
Has said that football can be a lonely experience and that the show had taught him how to laugh again.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Liz?
Yes.
Liz, do you want to comment
on
that?
I didn't see any of it. I can't tell you anything about it. I saw it being on the running order and I thought, oh no, what am I going to say about this?
Do you do you forgive him for all that stuff?
What, because he ate a lot of worms in the jungle or something?
Yeah, before what happened at Portsmouth.
I think, actually, mate, if you didn't know that context, if someone had said to you in the past, look, will you forgive Redknapp if he goes into a jungle and eats loads of worms? You would probably go, yeah, you know what? I'd take that.
I would have said, I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
And then I'll let you know. I'll let you know. Yeah.
Sean Day should be up for it.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that puts Harry closer or further away, closer to
from the
away
job.
From any sort of management job.
Yeah, I think he's done, hasn't
Maybe he'll start doing the reality show
circuit.
Merry-go-round, yeah.
What a step backwards if after Gareth Southgate, Harry Redknapp gets the gig because he won loads of reality shows.
I think that's how everyone should be judged.
Yeah.
Or get the England job. Well, how do you get on in the jungle?
This whole podcast has been a terrible reality show from the start.
If I knew
you have been judged.
If I knew any of the YouTube football teams, I'd say go and manage them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've never sounded so old. You know about YouTube. You're one of these
I can't
people.
Keep track, Luke.
You're part internet.
The F2 boys. Were those two lads who kick the footballs around?
Peter.
You made a video about them, slagging them off once.
Can you keep track with Shola Amiobi's sartorial choices?
Right, I thought he looked great on the telly, but I think he looks great in everything.
I do as well. I don't mind a pinstripe suit.
It was a big pinstripe suit. Like he'd
chalk-stripe gyms.
Well, it's like he was going to a party, like fancy dress party that was Bugsy Malone themed.
What's wrong with that?
And he went into his nearest peacocks and he's fixed it in like 10 minutes.
I used to work in Peacock.
Is that what Michael Ashley just bought?
That's why Shola's got it on. He's still involved.
I reckon
somewhere.
It was a House of Fraser suit, and I reckon Shola, who was, by the way, Shola, who was slagging off Mike Ashley yesterday on the telly, I reckon Mike Ashley might have given him a text saying, "That's the last time I give you a free suit, pal."
All right, and we'll finish with St Mirren's Adam Hamill scoring an absolute beauty from inside his own half against ex-Liverpool keeper Adam Bogdan.
Yeah, that was last Wednesday. They played again at the weekend.
Mm. True,
they played Livingston at the weekend, didn't they? And then.
Have we not been active enough on the WhatsApp group for you, Marcus?
We could have talked about it on Thursday, is what I'm saying, because it was last Wednesday.
I know, but it was. We don't have the WhatsApp group on the
Although I did like his comment, Adam Hamill, afterwards, where he said, "I picked up a loose ball, took a few touches, and the defence just seemed to back off. There were four of them, and I thought, I'm an old man. I can't outrun any of them. I might as well have a go."
Inside his own half.
Yes. Love it.
I love that. Bloody love that. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a roller coaster ride.
Whoa.
And we've had a lovely time. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
See ya.
Say goodbye, PTD.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Jimmy C.
Goodbye.
And bye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, "I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit," and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.